Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Lewis Smith. Lewis is with the Canada Safety Council and its National Summer Safety Week right now. I will also have some announcements for community events and some music. In the second part of today's show, I will be talking with Gail Atara, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer for the Gastrointestinal Society of Canada. We will start the show with a song by Big Wreck, and the song is called Summer Long. We will hear the interview about National Summer Safety Week right after the song, so please stay tuned.
As summer breaks apart and innocence is turned to ash, I'm sure you don't recall. You burn a hole, a blind spot up till fall. The sun
CJNQ 88.9 FM, and today we welcome Lewis Smith to the Townships at 12. Now, Lewis Smith is with the Canada Safety Council. So tell us what your job is and what exactly is the Canada Safety Council, Lewis?
Yeah, so the Canada Safety Council is primarily a safety awareness and training organization. We do a lot of messaging on anything related to safety, whether that's in the workplace, at home, or in the context of this conversation out in the wilderness. We've got a national campaign going on currently called National Summer Safety Week, and the focus of the week is on camping and hiking safety.
Okay, that's good. And that runs from May 1st and it finishes on the 7th. So tell us some of the things that people should be careful, especially hiking and camping during the summer.
Sure. So the number one piece of advice that we would have is just preparation. This is true across safety as a sphere of discussion, but even in the context of camping and hiking, preparation can go a long way toward keeping us safe and towards avoiding those near misses that could potentially escalate. So we highly recommend taking the time to prepare and to plan out your hiking and camping trips. That can include checking out trail conditions, checking out the weather forecast, because obviously the planning is going to be very different on a rainy day where, you know, the trails are slick and treacherous versus a day that's extremely sunny where things like sunscreen and shade may be more of a concern. After that, we also recommend keeping a detailed itinerary. We're not talking necessarily keeping track down to the minute, but more so an idea that we can share with our friends and family and folks who are with us as to where we're going to be, what specific trails we're looking to take. And that way, if something occurs as far as an environmental concern or if we get lost, our whereabouts are at least a little bit easier to pin down.
Okay, good advice. And when was the Canada Safety Council formed exactly?
The Canada Safety Council has roots that trace back to 1968. And further than that, we amalgamated from three organizations. So the first organization that was involved in our formation was formed in 1917. So we can trace our roots back to 100 years and counting.
Okay, very important, the planning. What about water? What should people be extremely aware of around water when camping and hiking?
Yeah, well, you know, water is a really serious concern when it comes to camping, because as we can all rightly imagine, most campsites tend to involve lakes, ponds, whether it's fishing, swimming, boating. A lot of activities out in the great wilderness involve water in some capacity. And what we see is, according to the Government of Canada, in 2020, we had 323 unintentional drownings, and about half of those were in natural bodies of water. So drowning happens very quickly, and it sets in very instantaneously to the point where if even 3 or 4 seconds go by where we're not being supervised, that can make all the difference. So we highly encourage folks to pay attention to the water conditions. If the waves are too intense or if the water is murky, uneven, maybe postpone the activity. And the other major point that we have for water safety is to go with a friend. Make sure that you have at least one, if not several, people around. Because in the event where the water overtakes us and we start struggling, getting out of that alone is not always the easiest or most obvious thing. Having someone around to help us in case of emergency goes a long way towards avoiding those water-related issues.
Certainly, especially people that have children, and also the alcohol factor, too. Very important to be aware of the drinking around water and make sure that everybody is sober, I guess, at the time, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Alcohol is a very major complicating factor in a lot of those water-related fatalities. Definitely a good idea to limit the amount of alcohol being consumed. Ideally, no alcohol around water. Obviously, it goes without saying, but alcohol impairs judgment, and it delays our ability to react quickly. And in situations like these, where catastrophe can set in instantaneously, every bit of reaction time that we can have on our side helps.
Mm-hmm, for sure. What about fires? We had so many forest fires last year. That's definitely on people's minds when they go camping and hiking, I think.
Oh, sure. Forest fires are one of the major concerns when it comes to camping. You know, a lot of folks have a tendency to try and build their own fires and not block them off correctly. And the end result is that a small fire can catch somewhere unexpected and can spread very quickly. So the solution there is fairly simple. Don't build your own fire if you don't have to. Designated fire pits exist at most provincial parks. Backpack stoves exist where those fire pits are unavailable. And the best advice here is just keep your fires small. Keep them controlled. You don't need that blazing, rip-roaring bonfire when a smaller fire will do the trick. And the bigger the fire, the quicker it can spread, the more quickly it can get out of control. So if there's any point at all where you feel your fire is maybe starting to get a little unwieldy, you're always better off putting it out and starting over again.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any statistics? How many fires got out of control started by campers last year in Canada?
I wish I did. Unfortunately, that's a stat that's very difficult to get a hold of. First of all, because not all wildfires or out of control campfires or logs. Second of all, because it's not always obvious whether a fire was originally a campfire or whether it was malicious. So that kind of number is unfortunately very difficult to pin down.
Mm-hmm, true. What about wild animals? What should people be aware of when it comes to wild animals, bears and things?
Yeah, well, with wild animals, there are a few things that we can do to keep ourselves safe. You know, keeping a bear bell, some bear mace if legal, making sure that any food is out of reach of the critters, especially when it's later at night. But bear attacks, especially in camping situations, are often the most concerning wildlife encounters that comes to mind, but they're surprisingly rare. You know, between 1978 and 2005, there were only 4 fatal bear encounters in Canada. So, you know, we talk about it as a serious concern, and it is. Don't get me wrong here. I don't intend to downplay this one bit. But as far as the actual encounters resulting in loss of life, they're fairly few.
No, that's good to hear. What about coyotes, things like that?
Well, with coyotes and any kind of dog or dog-adjacent animal out in the wild, the most important thing is not to show fear. We make ourselves bigger and we make noise to show that we're not intimidated. The concern with coyotes in particular lies in the fact that when we run, we're exposing our ankles to them. We're exposing a weak spot. And they will capitalize on that, and especially in packs, that's where it really gets concerning. I don't have any statistics as far as injuries or fatalities related to coyote attacks, but as a general rule, if you stand your ground and you don't show fear, you'll be fine.
Okay, that's really good to know. What are the most common mistakes people make when they're on vacation, camping, and hiking?
3 most common mistakes that we see that result in fatalities. The first is falls. When you're hiking, it's easy to misstep, fall down, you know, hopefully it's a small incline, but in some cases it can be something like a cliff edge. You know, so those kinds of falls can often lead to injury, slick rocks, steeper inclines, that kind of thing. Second thing that leads to the most fatalities out in camping and hiking situations is medical emergency. That can come either from dehydration or from hyperthermia. All kinds of situations where we can mitigate, but that leads to the importance of carrying a first aid kit. Because in the vast majority of these types of medical emergency situations, as you can imagine, out in the bush, it's difficult to get help immediately. So being able to do even the smallest things to mitigate the concern before the help arrives can make the difference. And the third thing that folks do most often that leads to problems is they get themselves lost. That can be whether because they've wandered off the trails or because they've overestimated their ability to track the area. They don't have the proper navigation tools. And obviously that becomes a much bigger concern at nighttime when animals and wildlife tend to be out on the prowl a little more often. So for that, we recommend that folks stick to posted trails, that they carry a map, a compass, and some form of method of contact with their camp. That's not always practical. You know, some places where folks go camping or hiking are a little remote, a little off the beaten track. But where possible, we highly encourage people to keep the cell phone on them just so that they can have some form of communication and some way of ensuring that they can get back to their campsite safely.
Yeah, for sure. What about water? Are people, do they have a tendency, if they see a brook, thinking it's fine to drink the water?
Every so often, sure, you do hear about folks drinking water without making sure that it's okay to drink. As a baseline rule, if you're anything other than 100% certain, and the only reason you should be 100% certain is if you brought the water yourself or you pumped it from a pump that is marked as safe for drinking. If it's any other circumstance, your safest bet is always to boil the water. That will take care of most of the bacteria in the water and render it drinkable.
Okay. Now, how popular is hiking and camping in the wilderness right now among Canadians?
Among the more popular activities, I can tell you that it's as popular as it's ever been, if not more so. Recently in the province of Ontario, they've had to reduce the amount of time that folks can block off at any given time in a provincial park. A lot of this is credited to the pandemic, because as you can recall, it was one of the only activities where it was safe to do, where you could leave your house, go to the outdoors, and enjoy time with friends in a safely ventilated area. So even though we're out of the thick of the pandemic, that is an activity that's stuck around but is still immensely popular to this day.
That's true. That's true. I guess, and that opened a window to the fun of camping and hiking and getting out in nature. Also, probably another thing we should mention is a lot of people like to take risky pictures and put them on Facebook. At the end of a cliff or something like that, standing at the end of the cliff. I think that's something that people have to be aware of too.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks take pictures for the memory, but not easy to have a memory if you're not around to enjoy said memory. What I recommend is that risky activity, it might make for a great picture, but you don't want that picture to be showing up at your funeral. Be smart about it. Take the pictures that are reasonable to take that don't put you in unnecessary danger.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Anything else you'd like to add as far as safety concerns?
I think we've covered the broad strokes here, Maureen. We should be good to go.
Okay. And if somebody wants to find out more, you have newsletters too. You're on Facebook and Instagram? And
We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on X, and of course we have our website, which is CanadaSafetyCouncil.org.
That's great. Okay, well, thanks very much, Lewis, and hopefully everybody will have a safe summer. Thanks again.
No, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I can do this with my eyes closed. I'm back from the dead, from the back of my head. Been gone and facing horrors that should never be said. The wrath and the grit from the pit of despair. Been taking every whip and word, I've never been spared. They say tomorrow's never promised, honest. They say the angels are among us. Lock me up in the maze.
Sacudir mi palma, tengo a Dios peleando contra el diablo por mi alma. Soy la luz del túnel que da calma, y los que dieron la espalda se les vio la falda. Me echaron a los leones, ahora soy dueño del circo. Batallo con ojos cerrados como cheque bingo. Si la fe es creer, antes de ver, parcero, yo no nací pa' perder. Yo soy libre sin la llave del lock, soy guitarra de rock. Pueden parar el beat, pero nunca mi voz. Sí, y haciendo trampa el enemigo ganó. Prometió un paso y nunca me pagó.
That was a song by Imagine Dragons featuring J Balvin, and the song is called Eyes Closed. Next up, some community announcements. Register for the Cougar Run 2024. That happens on Saturday, May 11th at 10 a.m. The first 150 participants to register will receive a pair of Cougar Run sunglasses and a Cougar Run t-shirt. So jog over to the registration page online. The Cougar Run is a fundraiser event in support of the Champlain-Lennoxville Foundation. All proceeds from this fundraiser will go towards athletic excellence, participation in national championships, and the general fund, which supports overall student success and well-being. An antique farm machinery show coming up on June 15th and 16th at 128-143 Richmond, Quebec at the Richmond Fairgrounds, Saturday 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Admission is $20 for those 16 years and up, $5 for 10 to 15 years and free under 10 years. 10:30 a.m. Inscription for antique tractor pulls. The pulls start at 11 a.m. 1800 pork and beef supper with all the trimmings. Tickets are sold in advance. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $15 for those 16 years and up, $5 for children 10 to 15 years and free under 10 years old. 11 a.m. tractor parade, 1300 tractor games. Also for the 2 days, there is a public market, a flea market, canteen on the grounds, and a petting zoo. Join Literacy in Action's new Smart Science series, Engineering Squad, available now in Barrie, a family activity in Barrie, Saturdays 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. from May 4th to June 8th. Sign up with Angie at lia-estrie.org or call 819-346-7009. Limited spots are available. Literacy in Action presents Books to Belly, Read a Story and Make Tasty Food, a free activity for kids ages 7 and up and their families, in Lennoxville, Thursdays 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., May 2nd, May 9th, May 16th, at 10 Samuel Gratham Street in the borough of Lennoxville. For more information, contact 819-346-7009 or email connect@lia-estrie.org. There will be a friperie boutique to profit the Maison Aube Lumière, April 26th to May 25th. A large selection of women's clothing, jewelry, bags, shoes at bargain prices. All sales will be 100% donated to La Maison Aube Lumière, Wednesday to Thursday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. This happens at the Place de Congrès near the Delta Hotel, Local 132, located at 2655 King West in Sherbrooke. Grace Village Seedling Sale Fundraiser, located at 1515 Pleasant View Street in Sherbrooke. This happens on Saturday, May 18th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Seedlings available include dill, parsley, thyme, basil, cilantro, oregano, zinnias, sunflowers, marigolds, geraniums, alyssum, nasturtiums, and cosmos, peppers, tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, baby pumpkins, green beans, yellow beans, and eggplant. This is an opportunity to support Grace Village, their community garden project, while also getting your hands on some great seedlings to take home. Uplands Cultural and Heritage Center, located at 9 Speed Street in the borough of Lennoxville, will be presenting the art by the Lennoxville Art Group, LAG. This exhibit will continue until May 26, 2024. Documentary at Hope Community Church. Hope Community Church in Sherbrooke is inviting everyone to join them on May 17th to watch One Morning at Dawn, a gripping hour-long documentary on the vital work being done by Canadians in war-torn Ukraine. One Morning at Dawn features footage and stories captured during Samaritan's Purse's humanitarian response to war, which is now in its second year. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. for seating, with the documentary starting at 7 p.m. Afterwards, a panel discussion will take place with members of Samaritan's Purse Disaster Assistance Response Team, who have served in Ukraine and Europe, assisting Ukrainian refugees. The date is Friday, May 17th at 7 p.m. at Hope Community Church, located at 102 Queen Street in Sherbrooke in the borough of Lennoxville. Contact HCC Office 819-822-2627 or email info@hccLenoxville.ca. I'd like to thank my guest, Lewis Smith, in the first half hour today for telling us all about National Summer Safety Week and what we should be aware of, especially when we're camping and hiking. And we'll hear a word from a couple of our sponsors, the news with Derek Bullard, and then we'll hear the second part of today's show. And I'll be talking with Gail Attara, the President and Chief Executive Officer for the Gastrointestinal Society of Canada. And today she will be talking about irritable bowel syndrome. We'll close the first part of today's show with a song called Language, and it's by Carries. So please stay tuned.
Mind if I crash here? Can I stay a while? We can drink the coffee you made last night. Catch me up on your whole life. Something about you just makes me smile. We can sit around on the couch and cry. I could do this for my whole life. You speak my language like no one else can. I've tried so many times, but they don't understand. You speak my language, and you don't even try. Even when I say nothing, it's like you're reading my mind. Hey, thanks for showing up, 'cause you walked into my life and now it's glowing up. Yeah, you, thanks for showing up, 'cause my way too much is you just enough. Into my life and now it's glowing up. Yeah, you, thanks for showing love, 'cause my way too much is you just enough.